He who saves one life saves the world entire. And the most important life to save is your own. After all, it's the place where you have the most power. So join shadow worker and trauma therapist Laura Giles each week on It's Not You, It's Me. We'll uncover what's in shadow and learn the things you need so you can heal yourself, grow yourself, know yourself, love yourself, be yourself, and share yourself. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, it's time to drop the self-sabotage and limiting beliefs. A healthy, abundant, connected life is an option. Choose it. Subscribe, and let's start manifesting it.
Why am I misunderstood? It's a common question, and the answer is not about being an introvert. If you have this question too, stay tuned, because that's the focus of today's podcast on It's Not You, It's Me. I'm your hostess, Laura Giles. Thanks for joining me. When I was a little kid, people made no sense to me, and I didn't get a clue until I was an adult. And my mission is to help anyone else who was in the dark as I was so that we can live our most amazing lives and not stay on the sidelines of life because we're confused, not sure what to do, or too afraid. I hope that the podcast inspires you to action. And if the podcast helps you, please return the love by liking, sharing, or subscribing. You can always share it with someone you think needs to hear this. And if you're a super fan, consider donating at buymeacoffee.com/itsnotyouitsme. The podcast is free to listen to, but not to produce. So please help to keep the show on the air. Also consider letting me know what you think in the comments. I heard from someone yesterday who had some really flattering and useful things to say, and I wouldn't have known had our conversation not strayed there. Most of our topics come from listeners, so your questions, comments, and feedback is super important. Talk to me. Before I get into why people feel misunderstood, let me address the introvert piece. A lot of people think that being an introvert is problematic and not normal. Introversion isn't a disease. It just means that you recharge alone. Extroverts recharge with people. That's it. That's the extent of the definition. It has nothing to do with being friendly, approachable, or likable. I'm an introvert, been an introvert all my life, and I have felt misunderstood, but I have never felt like an outcast or like something was wrong with me. It's okay to prefer solitude and small groups over big ones. It's okay to be on the quiet side rather than the rambunctious side. None of that is a reason to be alone. If you've got social anxiety, confidence problems, or feel like you don't belong, that's not because of introversion. Needing to recharge alone doesn't cause social anxiety, confidence problems, or alienation. You don't have to pretend to feel things that you don't feel or like things you don't like. I'm saying this because I don't want you to chase your tail looking for solutions by trying to be more extroverted than you are. Be yourself. As your confidence and comfort within yourself grows, your ability to be comfortable with others will increase too, but you'll probably still be an introvert. I'm speaking from my own experience. I've always been okay in social situations. I could speak in front of people and things like that, but I was an extreme introvert. As I've gotten older, I've had to do things like that, and my introvert-extrovert is about 60-40 now, but I'm still an introvert, and since I have felt misunderstood, I'll share that in the podcast as well as when it's appropriate, so you can see how I contributed to this. All right, so you're misunderstood, and you want to know, why am I misunderstood? Let me just get another thing out of the way. This won't apply to most of you, but it'll be a game changer for some. If you don't know your Myers-Briggs type, take a free test online. Only 1.5% of the population are INFJs. These are the most misunderstood personality types for reasons that have nothing to do with anything I'm going to talk about here today. So there may be other reasons here that apply to INFJs, but if you are an INFJ, go read up on INFJ stuff and lots of lights will go off in your head. For everyone else, keep listening and let's see if we can close the gap and help you to feel more connected with others. Cool? Okay. So when people are misunderstood, and I'm not talking about language barriers. Obviously, if you're speaking Chinese and I'm speaking English, and neither one of us knows the other's language, we're going to have some difficulties. But when we're not connecting with others, it can feel just the same. It's like, hello, do you hear me? Am I invisible? This can make us feel ignored, isolated, and lonely. Sometimes it's them, sometimes it's you. In today's podcast, I'm going to talk about the things that are happening because of you, because the name of the podcast is It's Not You, It's Me. And we want to focus on being in a space of power. I can't do anything about you, but I have total control over me, and so that's where I'm going to put my emphasis, right? The number one reason for being misunderstood is that you don't know who you are. If this is you, you probably grew up in a household where you either had to tiptoe around your parents' emotions and take care of their emotional needs, or your parents were critical or unpredictable. So let's go through those scenarios. I'm 2 years old. My mom's depressed and my dad's an alcoholic. I have very little language and I'm limited in my ability to communicate. When I try to communicate that I'm hungry, tired, distressed, or wet, my mom doesn't respond. Or maybe she goes through the motions, but her face is flat and she doesn't make an emotional connection with me. Now, let me pause there. Think about somebody that you know with an expressionless face. How comfy does it feel to be around them? Not very, right? There's something really unsettling about being around someone whose face doesn't move. Our face has more than 40 muscles and is capable of making 10,000 different expressions, although most of us only use about 90 of those. We make sense of the world through our senses, and our faces are one of the most expressive parts of us. When our face doesn't move, it indicates deception or at the very least uncertainty, so we don't trust and we're on edge. When we're children, we depend upon our children or when we're children, we depend upon our parents for survival. So we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that they see us, pay attention to us, and love us. If that means that we can take care of their needs first so we can feel safe, that's what we're going to do. And when we start to do that early in life, it can become a habit and a way of life. So much so that maybe we don't even know what we think, what we want, or who we are, because we don't make a choice until we know what someone else wants. Now, if dad's an alcoholic and he's sometimes happy and sometimes sad, I'm still going to do the same thing. I'm going to walk on eggshells until I know that today is a day where I can have fun or maybe I need to hide. In other words, my environment determines how I'm doing. Okay, so now I'm an adult and I'm on my own. Just because I'm living or not living in that environment anymore, it doesn't mean that all that goes away. By this time, being focused on everything outside of me to tell me who I am is hardwired. I do it without thinking. So when someone comes along who likes me, I may just go along with them without even thinking about whether or not I like them or if this is a good match for me. Or let's say it's a social event where I meet some people who are looking for more friends, but they can't tell whether I'm interested in that or not because I'm wishy-washy. Meanwhile, I'm just trying to figure out the safe way to play this whole thing, and I don't have enough clues to know whether to zig or to zag. Most people know if they know who they are or not. When you're 18 to 25, you're still figuring things out, but you still should have a good idea. If not, you may be throwing conflicting signals that confuse people. The surefire way to tell is if you're misunderstood. If this is you, your first task is to deal with the fear of being seen or the disappointment of being let down. Until this is taken care of, nothing else would be productive. Once you got that out of the way, then you can begin to discover who you are, what you value, and what you want. And I hope you have lots of fun with that. And if I can help with the healing piece, reach out. That's what I do. The second common reason for being misunderstood is that you're wearing a mask. Honestly, most of us do this. At least sometimes we're conditioned to fit in, conform, and be likable. So we shapeshift a little bit to connect. Remembering that belonging is related to survival, I recently learned that being ostracized or ignored can actually leave you feeling physical pain. It hits the same receptors in the brain as if you've been punched. So it's hardwired into us to connect and be pleasing. If we hide what we think will be unacceptable so that we can get along, over time we present a mask and people don't know who we are. That's why people wear name brand clothes. If I see a logo or name or something that is associated with quality, exclusivity, or the cool kids, we buy it so that we can be cool by association. This may have nothing to do with what we actually prefer, so we have this facade that looks one way and our insides completely different. But we fit in. We're cool. I get a lot of clients who complain about this when they start having relationship issues. They think that their partner wants kids, values education, or has no spiritual preferences, and then a couple of years later, they find out that all these things are a big deal. It could be anything, really, but this is what I tell people to take it slow in relationships. Give people a chance to relax and feel safe. That's when the mask will start to come off. And we all wear a mask to some degree, but when we feel comfortable, we start to let that real face show. And that's when you start to see what people really value, how people really cope with life, and what people want. Our brains are wired to pick up minute shifts in energy and expression. They're tells when you're not being genuine. If you're wearing a mask, someone who's paying attention can see those tells. They may not be able to put their finger on what they're looking at. Maybe they just pick up some quirky vibes and don't know what to think of you because they know something's off. Since we all fill in the blanks the best way we know how, their assumptions could be way off base. For example, let's say that I had a teacher who displayed the same type of tells that you have when he's feeling anxious. By the end of class, that teacher would be yelling at the class. If you do something that reminds me of this teacher and his yelling, I could imagine that you're about to blow your top when that's not the case at all. And now we have a misunderstanding. For you, it could be about wanting more information, needing more space, or something like that. But here I am, backing away and avoiding you to avoid a confrontation. Now we're barely talking because I misread your cues. When people wear masks, we don't necessarily know why or what's beneath. It's very common for people to fill in the blanks. And it's even more common for us to make erroneous conclusions. If both sides are aware of this, we can be direct and talk about it. That might look like, hey, I just picked up a shift in energy and I'm not sure what that's about. Do you want to talk about it? You can say yes or no. If you're not ready to talk about it, you could say something like, I'm still processing. I'll get back to you. Another cause for feeling misunderstood is learned. If you grew up in a dysfunctional family or a different family and didn't see your experience anywhere, that can lead to feeling isolated and misunderstood. Here's what I mean. In alcoholic families, there's an unexpressed rule of don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. If none of your friends seem to have this household and you don't see it replicated anywhere, this can feel very isolating. Or it could be that you are the only one in your friend group who has a physically abusive parent or mentally ill parent. Or maybe you're the only one with parents from another culture, or you have a very different religious path. It could even be that you're the only 8-year-old who goes to a prestigious performing arts school and performs in prominent events. Feeling unique isn't very unifying when you're little. Being little is about having fun, making friends, and fitting in. Your parents may see you as a math whiz and want you to go to college when you're 10, but it's probably not all that great for you. You probably don't have the space to play with Barbies in your college calculus class, surrounded by adults, so there isn't a place in the world where you can feel like you can be yourself. People need to see themselves in other people. This is why I have guests once a month. It's to give you a slice of life from someone else's eyes. Maybe they inspire you. Maybe they give you courage to continue on your own path. Maybe you're completely opposite to them, but it helps you to get clearer on that. If you don't see yourself in anyone else, keep looking. Someone's like you. Someone can understand you, even if they aren't like you. Sometimes the best place to find understanding is in the eyes of someone who's not like you. There are lots of memoirs of people who grew up in dysfunctional households. There are lots of stories of exceptional people. They may only be a small number of them, but they do share their stories because they're extraordinary. The coolest thing about all of them is that they tend to end with the hero of the story overcoming some obstacle. And if they do it, so can you. You can find yourself, be yourself, and love yourself just as you are. You can connect just as you are. Now, the next thing I want to talk about when being misunderstood comes from doing all the things that you're socially supposed to do, but getting a wonky response and don't know why. So you've got down all the social rules. You think you're following them, but some people don't respond the way you think they should. In the movie My Friend Dahmer, it seemed like Jeffrey Dahmer had that issue. For example, I had a client a couple years ago who was fed up with the world. She was lonely and wanted companionship, but she said people ignored her, didn't extend invitations or warm up to her. She said she went out of her way to make small talk, say polite things, and ask about things she cared about was helpful. And nobody even wanted to go to lunch, much less hang out long enough to be friends. She didn't know what to do to feel connected, and she just wanted friends. This situation is very common and is a huge contributor to loneliness. What's happening here is that our friendly intentions aren't being conveyed as friendly, safe, overtures. So people only engage in polite, superficial ways or ignore us altogether because they don't feel emotionally safe or drawn in. Relationships are based on more than just words. Connection is a feeling. There has to be a feeling of familiarity, safety, and interest. And these things often come from actions that are nonverbal. For example, let's say that two guys approach me at a Christmas party. They both say exactly the same things, but one has an intense, smothering energy. He stands too close, doesn't make eye contact, or maybe he stares. His eyes are dead, and his face doesn't move when he talks. And I feel cornered when he's talking like I can't get away. The other one is animated. He has light energy, smiles at me, looks at me, and gives me space. Being around him feels easy and like an invitation. Now, which guy do you think I'd be more interested in? Our connection isn't about him going through the motions and doing all the right things. We're not robots. We're humans. If relationships were paint by number, they'd all be easy. We could do ABC, find a partner in the first time, and live happily ever after, but it's not like that. When we're good inside, we convey that easy, confident feeling to others, and they feel good about us and being with us. I'm sure you've seen this for yourself. When you're with someone new, you're walking on air. It's very attractive, and all of a sudden, prospects are coming out of the woodwork. When you're just going about your day-to-day life, it's not that way. We're way more vibrant, alive, and easier to connect with when we're happy. If we don't express happiness, vitality, and safety, we're often overlooked and misunderstood. That's the tone of your voice. If your voice is flat and monotone, you're going to give off an unhealthy, attractive vibe and potentially be misunderstood. Think about anyone you know who's depressed, or maybe yourself when you were depressed. How's your voice sound? Probably pretty flat, right? Our voice changes imperceptibly for a lot of reasons, but it indicates our inner state of being. If you want to appear more connected and interesting, talk in a more sing-songy way. It gives what you're saying more expression and passion. If you speak really slowly or move slowly compared to the average person, you might practice speeding things up. Really slow speech is often associated with dullness, low intelligence, being on drugs, or boredom. And that's not the greatest vibe when you want to make a connection. Another thing to watch out for is that your inside and outside match. If you're talking about a tragic car crash that you passed on the way to where you are now, and you're smiling ear to ear, it's going to wig some people out. If you're talking about your brother's upcoming wedding with a frown on your face, people will wonder if you don't like the bride or something. Sending mixed signals makes people want to know if you're trustworthy. We all want people to be firm, fair, and consistent. You mean what you say, do what you say you're going to do, and do it when you say you're going to do it. So you just come through. You're not emotionally fragile, nor do you come on too strong. Your actions and feelings don't depend on how you're feeling, but you're not a robot either. You can be warm, friendly, and sincere. If you're talking about something light and funny, but your smile looks plastic and fake, it's going to send weird vibes to the other person. It's the right move, but it doesn't resonate as being true to your inside. So there's lots of ways to send conflicting signals that make other people back up. Become aware of your body language and relax. We all pick up things that we call authentic because humans do them naturally and without thinking about it. If I like you, my feet are going to typically face you when we're standing or sitting. My arms are not going to be crossed unless I'm cold. My body's facing you, and if I really like you, I might be playing with my hair. My pupils dilate. I'm not thinking about these things or making them happen, but they create a vibe that will encourage you to either lean in or back up, depending upon whether you like me too. It's what we do without thinking about it when we're relaxed. Now, trauma can get in the way. Growing up in a family where it wasn't safe to feel can interrupt that. So we have to heal so our bodies will let us go there and people can feel comfortable with us. Another thing that contributes to being misunderstood is resting bitch face. In my observation, this is different from flat face. A flat face is more emotionless. Resting bitch face is more angry, or there's a hostile vibe underneath. And there are two types of people with resting bitch face. The first one is someone who cultivates it. What I mean is that there are women who don't want their faces to move at all because it causes wrinkles. Laughing, smiling, making any kind of facial movement at all is a no-no. They don't touch their face either. I don't know if it actually keeps anyone from having wrinkles, but it can definitely lead to feeling misunderstood because what you're communicating is displeasure, boredom, or judgment. Another type of person with resting bitch face is unconscious, and it comes from trauma. There are two ways to deal with this. You can heal the trauma or get some sort of facial surgery, and I've seen people do both. They both have great results, but I highly recommend healing because why not? If you can be healthy and have a face that registers that, I think that's authentic. We spontaneously smile when we're happy. And since we have these mirror neurons in our brain that help us to feel what other people are feeling, we smile when they smile. They smile when we smile. If you're displaying resting bitch face when someone smiles at all, it can feel like a rejection or a slap in the face. Now, this is not to say that you have to smile at anyone, but it's nice to have that option. If you're cultivating resting bitch face, your face will lose the muscles that give you all that emotional flexibility, and you won't be able to respond the way that you feel inside. So I say, smile like you feel it. And if you can't, because of your trauma history, heal so that you can. Exercises for the throat, head, or ears help with resting bitch face. Yoga has a lot of movements that help. Seriously. Our faces are meant to move. I think a few wrinkles are worth it to appear approachable. But that's just me. Do you? Now, I can relate to resting bitch face. When I was a dance teacher, my class would have a recital every month, and those who wanted an individual critique could get it. As I was watching my students, I had a face that didn't move. And I was told that it looked pretty stern, but I was concentrating on what I was seeing. I was looking at all the fine details. And when I realized how I was coming across, I explained that what was going on in my head. And my students became more relaxed because it wasn't about being angry. I never was angry or judgmental or ugly in class. So interpreting it as being harsh didn't make sense. It was still unnerving, so I still tried to stop doing it, but actually had a hard time thinking without doing that. So I get it. Sometimes what you see is not what's happening on the inside. If you have a relationship with the person, you can always ask. Another thing that I can relate to when it comes to being misunderstood is having people project their social norms onto me. So as I said in the beginning, I'm an introvert. I don't necessarily want to join in a party with strangers right away. I don't really want to do the group introduction thing that we always do at the beginning of a seminar. I want to feel the situation out and go at my own pace, so when I'm pushed into doing something I don't want to do, I can come across as unfriendly, because I am. And I'm saying this to stand up for introverts, because it's not fair to ask us to conform to a social expectation when we aren't warmed up enough to participate wholeheartedly. It sets up a lose-lose situation. If I do it, I don't feel good about it and probably come across as less than friendly because I'm not a poker player. If I don't do it, now I really come across as uncooperative, when that's not who I am either. So I just need to go at my own pace. Now, it's not you, it's me, right? If I want to have a different outcome, it would be up to me to do something different. And I have a choice in this situation, right? I can either suck it up and play nice to get along, or I can be true to myself and do it with an attitude, or I can let go of the fact that this is not my preferred way to spend an hour and do it anyway. I tend to go with the latter these days, but not always. I think it's a horrible way to open up any type of gathering because it's often about status games and networking. If I say I'm a doctor, I put myself on a pedestal and put everyone at a distance where they can ooh and about me. Or if I'm the only one using credentials, now I look like a stuck-up pig for dragging out my credentials. I prefer to get to know people organically and let the details come out naturally. I've gone years without knowing what a person does for a living because it's often not important. I want to know who they are as people, and what we do doesn't necessarily reflect that. So I don't ask until it's relevant, and I don't usually want to volunteer it unless and until it's relevant. Being in a room full of strangers, that's usually not that time. So another way that we can be misunderstood is through sarcasm. Sometimes we use sarcasm as humor to please other people. It gives us a way to connect. But because we're hiding behind the sarcasm, the connection's superficial. Sometimes the sarcasm is a way to say what we really think without being direct. Since people don't know what we really think, this can also create distance from the true connection that we seek. Sarcasm has some benefits, but since it has such a high risk of creating misunderstandings, I would avoid it most of the time. Another reason why people are misunderstood is they talk over people and don't listen. This is typically a tactic to control the conversation so that they keep the other person captive and connected, but it usually backfires because that other person feels captive. True connection is an open back and forth between two or more people, and when one person dominates the other and isn't responsive to when they want to speak, or when they're tired, or when to end the conversation, it ends up in disconnection and potentially misunderstanding. If any of these resonate with you, let me know in the comments. Also share what suggestions you have for overcoming these issues. We're all human. We have basically the same wiring and connect with others if we get out of our fear and understand the skills of connecting. They should be taught early in childhood, but sometimes they aren't, and it's not too late to learn. Being misunderstood doesn't condemn you to a lifetime of loneliness, I promise you. Everyone can connect and be understood. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for your questions and show ideas. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And see you next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help the podcast thrive, please share it with others. Post about it on social media or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from Laura Giles, you can follow her on all her socials at Laura Giles 804. See you next time.